D. We're back here, man, with episode 2. Hopefully you guys got like a nice little experience of episode 1 in it, but they were going to step the levels up, man. I just want to thank everyone for listening to the first episode. And yeah, man, I appreciate you lot for supporting me. Yeah, you know. So we're going to be talking about today. Let me get the let me get my topics up. And we're going to be talking about, like, I want to make it clear, like, everybody needs to just, how do I explain this? Like, don't take me as like a professional. I'm not a professional. I'm just here trying to tell the story, tell my story from like my perspective and help you guys get, well, not get advice, but give you like advice on, you know, like relationships and stuff, man. And down the line, I'm going to explain more about like ADHD, self-diagnosed ADHD, by the way. It's nothing to do with like, I haven't got fully tested, but I matched the symptoms of what I've been seeing. And explains a lot of stuff, man. And then basically I ended up hyper-focusing on myself and hyper-focusing on like certain things that like was affecting me. And I didn't understand what was happening. But when I started reading up on the ADHD, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, it makes sense to why I do this and that and that. And like reading certain cues and like conversations with people. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I would say that like I've worked very hard on like articulating myself, but I think I've done that naturally. I don't think I never had it in the beginning, but I think over time I started to realize, I'm like, oh, I'm struggling here, man. Like, am I reading this situation right or that situation right or whatever, whatever. So, but yeah. So today, this particular episode is going to be the journey, man. This is going to kind of explain like how my attachment to people and like relationships started in it. So I want to give like a mad backstory on my life personally, so that obviously as we go forward in the whole podcasting thing, you know, hopefully you guys can relate from start to finish and get an understanding. Because as I give more advice, you're going to want to know, why am I talking about that? How does that affect this? How does that affect that? Blah, 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 as we go through. So of course, I'm born. That's the first step. Anyway, no, so I'm born, raised up. It was just me and my mum growing up. My real dad was in and out of my life, of course. You know, that's kind of common in the black community-ish from what I see in it. But obviously, I've heard that in places like Africa, there's actually quite a strong family unit and stuff. But I wouldn't know because I'm not African, I'm Caribbean. So I don't know nothing to do with that in it. Do you know what I mean? But if there is a strong family unit out there in the black culture, that's sick. I admire that. But from the Caribbean culture, that's not really a thing, man. So naturally, cool. Dad's in and out of my life, whatever, whatever. And how do I explain this? Naturally, I had difficulties in school. I'm saying naturally. Obviously, it's normal to me, but not to everybody else. Anyway, I had struggles in school in terms of like dyslexia. I didn't even know I had ADHD, but it makes sense. And as I go through the journey, you guys are going to understand. But I was always that guy that was close with the naughty kids, the bad kids. You know, they were always fascinated by how tall I was and how big I was. Do you know what I'm saying? So they're like, yeah, you can roll with me, man. Da, 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 da. Do you know what I mean? But I was just big, smiley, and just enjoying life. And I was just floating about. I never, ever, ever, ever could. Come on, it's a typical story, but I never could concentrate in school properly, whatever. I couldn't stare at the whiteboard like everybody else, you know what I mean? So in primary school, I remember being around the naughty, not naughty kids, but like the people that, they were naughty, but look, they were struggling with stuff in it. But anyway, I used to find that I got on with the naughty kids, the kids that were distracting, like the lessons. I was a good kid, but I was always getting like, I was always fascinated by them. Like, do you know what I'm saying? So why is he bouncing around the class? Like, do you know what I mean? And I don't know. I was fascinated. Anyway, cool. So growing up, it's just me and my mum now. And she was working a couple jobs. So for her, paying me attention, obviously she did pay me attention, but I was raised by her and my granny and my auntie. So her paying me attention was not as common as it should have been. Not to say she was a bad mum, don't get me wrong. But from my memory, from my important memories, I don't remember her paying me as much attention as much attention as like it could have been. But obviously it's hard for her because obviously she's a single mum, do you know what I'm saying? So I'm getting love from my mum, my auntie and my granny. Do you understand? So it's not one consistent person. That kind of throws off, that threw me off my attachment. So anyway, cool. Fast forward now. I get into my first relationship. Get into my first proper relationship, yeah. I'm not talking about the kiddie ones, like when you're in school, I'm talking about first proper relationship now. And I'm this thing. I at the time I was this thing what you call an avoidant, right? And I had no idea what avoidants were and anxious attachment styles. I had no clue. I don't know. I never knew about any of that stuff, innit? But anyway, we get into a relationship. Cool. She's treating me really good. I'm treating her really good, you know. And to put it in short, she was anxious at the time and I was avoidant. So I'm getting all this love, all this consistent love, all this consistent, like, appreciation. And it's weird to me, man. Like, my head is like, obviously, I'm not conscious of it. It's only looking back, I realize what I was thinking. But those times, I'm thinking to myself, like, this, like, obviously, like, bear in mind, we were together for years as well. It's not even like a one, like, 6 month thing. It was a while, do you know what I'm saying? So getting all that consistent love and affection and attention, it wasn't normal, like, and appreciation for certain things. Like, I'm thinking, what? I'm just being me and I'm getting appreciated, like, for it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not having to, you know, beg for attention. Like, with my mom, like, not, this sounds horrible to my mom, but, like, back then I would have to, like, act out to get attention, do you know what I mean? But she... My mum wasn't giving me that attention, not because she didn't want to or she didn't love me, but she's drained from work, innit, naturally. Do you know what I mean? So when I'm getting that consistent love and affection and relationship from one person, like, it was shocking. Do you know what I mean? It was shocking to my system. So anyway, I remember there's these times that it got to a time where, like, the intimacy was so much, yeah, or it felt like it was so much, when actually it was, like, at the normal level. Do you know what I'm saying? And I was triggered. So I used to go inside my shell. And, like, she would message me and call me. And I wouldn't pick up or whatever, whatever. And I realised that a lot of men do this. Like, we do this thing where, oh, my girlfriend's annoying, blah, 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 da, 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 da. But it's not even that they're annoying, they're crazy. It's just that, like, they're triggered. Do you get what I mean? They're triggered. That's all it is, isn't it? Like, people get triggered. I got triggered. But I couldn't communicate that I'm triggered because I didn't know what was going on. My nervous system's activated. So anyway, put it this way. At the time, yeah, looking back in hindsight, I would say, yeah, I took that person for granted. You know what I'm saying? So, but I never knew that I was taking her for granted. But anyway, so she would drop me everywhere. You know, how do I explain it? Yeah, she would drop me everywhere, like, make sure I'm right, blah, 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 blah. Don't get me wrong, I was doing the same, but not as consistent as her and everything, do you know what I'm saying? I'm lacking in the communication skills, whatever, whatever. Going through stuff, she's there for man, whatever. Crazy. So I remember one time I broke up with her because I'm like, nah, this is too much. I can't do this. Leave me alone. Ah, whatever. It was on Valentine's Day as well. I'm laughing about it now, yeah, but it's crazy. But anyway, I was speaking to her about it. She told me, like, how could you do that on Valentine's Day, whatever. We laugh about it and whatever. But anyway, so obviously, literally broke up that time there. Kept on seeing each other, whatever, and I was still taking her for granted. Like, I was seeing her when we were broken up. So we were still together, but without the title. And in my brain, for some weird reason, that took the pressure off of intimacy, which is stupid because, like, I'm still in a relationship just without the title, so whatever, cool. Anyway, fast forward, it was like, I remember I called her, and remember, I didn't drive those times, innit? So she was doing a lot for me. I remember calling her, and I'm like, yo, babes, yeah, what's going on? Could you drop me here and here? She said no. She said no now. I said, okay, cool, cool, cool. Boom, put down the phone. And I realized for, like, literally a couple seconds, I'm like, did she just say no? Like, did she just say no? Like, I'm processing it. I called her back. I said, you're going to come for me, aren't you? She said, no, I'm not coming for you. I said, what? I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I'm not coming for you. I would, listen, I'm telling you now. I will never in my life, yeah, ever in my life, ever take any human being for granted. Anybody in my life that helps me with anything with their own free will, I will not take for granted again. I will appreciate every single person. Even if you don't like me, I'm going to appreciate you for not liking me, bruv. Like, it's that day, I'll never forget, it hit me so hard. Like, I took this person for granted just in that split moment. I didn't digest it straight away, but in that moment, I remember just thinking, bruh, like, it sounds crazy, but I had nothing in that moment. So anyway, cool. Fast forward now. This is the stuff where it becomes like ADHD, right? And I'm going to show you the symptoms now. Now, after that rejection kind of thing, it was a rejection. After that rejection, I began to hyper-focus on driving. I remember I became obsessed. Like, in my mind, I became fully obsessed with driving. I was like, no, I'm going to drive. I'm going to make sure I do da-da-da-da-da. And when I drive, I'm going to see her. She's going to see me. And we're going to get back together and blah, blah, blah. I hyper-focused on everything to do with that person and I neglected myself. I didn't do it for me. I just did it because I saw, do you know what I mean, tunnel vision. Now, obviously, people would say, well, that's normal to focus on what you want. No, 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 you don't understand. I've never been able to focus on anything, like one thing. I'll get overwhelmed by something and shut down and I'm like, yep, I'm on to the next thing. Oops, discover a next thing. Oops, discover another. I never, ever in my life, that was the first time I could say I dedicated myself to one thing and I said, yes, I'm doing it no matter what. And it's happening, I don't care. Anyway, saw her. So I passed, saw her, whatever. And I remember seeing her, she was in shock because I always stopped and started the driving thing. I just never carried on with it. But anyway, what happened next? So fast forward, I'm driving, whatever. And how do I describe this? So it's kind of like a thing like where I didn't know how to communicate in a relationship. Like, I had no idea about communication. Like, the thought of even communicating, yeah, overwhelmed the hell out of my brain. Like, it felt draining to, like, respond to a text or whatever. I never took responsibility for anything. Like, I avoided everything. I remember times when me and her were sat down and she would say to me, she's like, what you did hurt me in this way and this way. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, is she crazy? Like, me not spending time with you, me being on my PS4 is affecting you. Do you know what I mean? Like, me, I think it was a PS3. Anyway, don't matter. I'm playing my games. I'm doing my thing. How on earth are you upset by me doing absolutely nothing, right? Do you get what I mean? So it's funny because, like, naturally, as men, right, as people, that guys, right, you will see the memes and stuff online about your girl gets annoyed when you're happy doing your thing. And there is some kind of truth in that. I don't think it's that. I think it's, like, the lack of appreciation for your woman or for your person, even if the roles are reversed, like, whoever you are in a relationship with, that lack of appreciation is crazy, but it's caused by an insecurity, right, that I never even knew I had in myself. I just thought I was me. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't conscious. I was just living, floating about subconsciously. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't aware of my actions and how it might affect people close to me. Do you know what I'm saying? I never had that. I never seen that. My mom's an avoidant. Like, she's getting out of it now, but she was an avoidant. She used to, you know, like, when she come home from work, she's on her phone. I didn't get that attention. So I saw that. That's what I'm seeing. I was hyper-focusing on my mum's facial expressions. I became hyper-vigilant, hyper-sensitive. So anybody would say anything to me, I'd feel it in my heart, like, properly in my heart. It could be it's the smallest thing. Like, I'm feeling it times two. But you wouldn't think that I'm feeling anything because as a kid or as a person, I'm always smiling, innit? But I'm not, like, I don't look phased, but my body's feeling it. And I never understood. And then when I did my research, it's, like, recently, I'm discovering, oh my gosh, all this time I had ADHD. I didn't even know. but this is self-diagnosed. Like I said, I don't want to offend anybody and just throw that word out there, but self-diagnosed, and I feel like I've matched that, you know, description and everything. But we're going to get onto that in another episode. So anyway, so I didn't know how insecure I was because I didn't feel worthy of being treated as good as I was treated, if that made sense. So I was insecure. I wasn't comfortable with who I was as a person. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm young. I don't know about being treated well. I've never experienced it. Not on a consistent level anyway. Because you can get treated good sometimes and whatever. But on a consistent level, it wasn't normal for me. And she grew up in a two-parent household. So she saw levels of structure. So for her, it was normal. It was just like, oh, this is what you do for the person you care about and whatever. For me, are you crazy? Not in a black community. Sorry. You know what I mean? So anyway, bottom line is, cool. With this whole insecurity thing at the time, right? Me being an avoidant, right? Avoiding all responsibility, all problems. I was walking. So imagine this. Imagine, I've seen this analogy online. I can't remember who said it, but whoever said it, shout out you, whatever, cool. I'm a 6 foot person, right? But I'm walking in 3 foot energy. Does that make sense? So I'm walking around in 3 foot energy in my mind because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, imagine like you're 3 foot tall and you're bumping into loads of people that are 3 foot as well, right? But you're actually 6 foot in reality, but in your mind, you're 3 foot. So you're hurting all these people around you. You don't even realize you're doing it. And that's what was happening to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Having outbursts of not... It was, do you know what? It wasn't even anger. It was just anxiety, but I never knew it was anxiety. So anyway, having all these outbursts and whatever, whatever. And I'm thinking, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to be close to you, or I don't want to be, do you know what I mean? And then when I calm down, I'm like, oh, I want to be close again. But I don't even realize what I'm doing to that person. You don't know how damaging it is to a person to be avoiding them and treating them and not meeting their needs and catering to them on a consistent basis. Like, psychologically, it does something to people. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to communicate anyway. I never seen proper, healthy communication. In my household, it was just loud shouting or quietness. Do you know what I'm saying? Or even my grandma has a loud voice. Do you know what I mean? So me raising my voice, it was a normal thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what... Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying I shouted at her, but I'm just saying, like, in those, like, being able to communicate was not normal. Being able to talk about how I feel about a situation and articulate it correctly was not a skill set of mine. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, fast forward now. What was it? Anytime she would bring up a problem to me, I would think, what are you talking about? Cool. Then it would trigger something in me where I'm feeling to myself, I'm like, wow, I felt ashamed, didn't it? Like, I felt like, whoa, like, am I a bad, like, you're calling me a bad person. But it wasn't that. She's telling me, babe, when you don't talk to me for X amount of time, this is how I feel. So I'm thinking, is she mad? Like, I'm thinking, is she mad? Like, what, you saying I'm an evil person? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm defensive. But what I'm not realizing is, like, what she's trying to say is, look, you're important to me and I would like to spend time with you. I would like your attention because you're valuable to me. But I'm thinking, I don't drive. I'm not earning that much money. I was working like 3 days a week, yeah? I don't dress well because I don't really care about clothing. I can't do all this. I can't do all that, but you still want to be with me. Do you know what I mean? So my brain couldn't fathom that. Like, a person wants to be around me for the authentic person that I am. I'm like, this is crazy. Just, like, my brain at the time, like, I couldn't process it. Like, I'm telling you, like, I couldn't fathom. Like, that wasn't real to me. Like, that then made me, like, go inside myself even more. And then when I had the space away from her, I'm like, oh my gosh. But anyway, yeah, man, I say that to say this as well. So, insecurities, yeah? Here's the thing about insecurities. A lot of people just throw that word around, innit? Like, they throw it around to people and say, ha, you're insecure, without actually knowing what it looks like and what it means. Do you know what I mean? I remember people used to, like, if I had an outburst of emotion or something like that, or show any kind of emotion because I couldn't communicate how I actually felt in a logical way. I would see people say to me, or hear people say to me, oh, you're insecure. In my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I hear that, but who's going to tell me what it means so that I don't be insecure? Do you know what I mean? Like, don't throw it at me. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't be throwing these words at people. Like, teach me then. What does it look like? Because I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? I have no idea. So anyway, I remember one time, what happened? Anyway, that relationship ended, whatever, cool. Moving on, fast forward. Got into another relationship, and that person was an avoidant. Now, before I talk about that, this is what happened. I then hyper-focused on her. Going back to the breakup. So I hyper-focused on my first girlfriend, cool. Then I decided from that point on, I'm going to be the best communicator in the planet. I'm going to be able to articulate myself in the best way. I started listening to so many videos and blah, 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 hyper-focusing. Again, I was, whatever. I was trying to learn all this, learn all that, procrastinating so much stuff. Anyway, so then I became an anxious. I became what she was in the relationship. I became anxious in my new relationship, where my new girlfriend was an avoidant, right? Now, an avoidant is, obviously, as I described, was me. When you shut down, when people get too close to you, whatever, cool. An anxious person is usually what people class as clingy and needy and stuff like that. They're the ones that want to fix every problem and whatever. They're both insecurities, but it looks different. Cool. There's other attachment styles, but we won't get into that now. They're secure. You know what? They're secure. Okay, look, four attachment styles. They're secure, there's avoidant, there's anxious, and there's the disorganized attachment, which means you're a combination of anxious and an avoidant. Just to clarify, if you want to go do your research, go do your research. Anyway, cool. So in my new relationship, I was the anxious person and they were the avoidant. So I'm now I'm experiencing what my previous girlfriend experienced. Because the combination of communication, because now I've got the words to be able to fix problems. Now I know how to articulate myself a little bit better. I now get into a new relationship trying to want to fix everything. Someday I'm like, oh my gosh, I can fix this person and make them all good and then we can have the best. Hey, listen to me now. Yeah, you guys don't understand how embarrassed I am just like speaking into the mic. I like telling you guys this, but it's to help you in it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm embarrassing myself for the sake of you lot. Yeah? Appreciate me. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, so cool. I'll get into this relationship. They're an avoidant. They're really in their show. Like, they're really avoidant. I bring up stuff to them. They feel the shame. Hey, let's solve this problem. No. Shut down. That's The levels of avoidance, yeah. If I could give you a chart, like, I really would, innit? But I can't because I don't have a chart and you can't see me. Anyway, so yeah, I then realized, oh my gosh, cool, broke up, whatever. I then realized, okay, you don't have to solve everybody's problem. And I realized that in my life, there's areas of my life that I wasn't working on, I was procrastinating. Like, I'm just living in my subconscious mind and cool, I've learned how to communicate, but I didn't know how to regulate my emotions. But you gotta understand, like, oh, I'm burping, sorry, I had a coke. Anyway, everyone says, you know, men ain't supposed to talk about their emotions or you're too in touch with your feelings, blah, 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 blah. You need to be more masculine and stuff like that. But I've got a different approach, yeah. This is my personal technique here, and I think it's the most logical approach to becoming like a little bit more masculine and for guys to be in touch with their feelings and stuff. I think it's the stupidest thing to say to a man, yeah, you're too in touch with your emotions, okay? I think if anybody's like has emotional outbursts and stuff, I think you're not in touch with your emotions. Like, you can't be in touch with your emotions, because if you're in touch with your emotions, you're going to have control over it. Do you know what I'm saying? But if you're not in touch with your emotions are just going to be splurted out everywhere and everywhere, like any and anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought about it like this. Cool. ADHD now. this is where the ADHD comes into it. So with ADHD, by definition, some of the symptoms are emotional dysregulation. Okay. Now, to me, ADHD means when your brain is in survival mode, it's constantly working and focusing on so many things that it can't process smaller things. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Or you even process the smaller things. This is my perspective on it. I'm not saying I'm absolutely correct, but from the definition of it, like, not definition, from the symptom of it, it's like you can't regulate your emotions because everything's happening too quickly in your brain. Your brain is taking in so much information that you don't even get enough time to process your emotions. And everything's more intense. You're hypersensitive. And that's with a lot of people when they don't even realize it. And you're on a spectrum. Some people are worse than others, but that doesn't stop you from trying to manage it because everybody's might have it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying everybody does, but for those who are listening, they're like, oh, Pete, everyone has it or a load of people have it. Let's not be ignorant. Because if you've got a problem, like, why not solve your problem so you can go help someone else solve theirs? Do you know what I mean? If one house is on fire, why don't you put out your own fire, then go help someone put out theirs? Educate yourself. Don't be ignorant and say, you know, a load of people have ADHD and whatever. So anyway, I realized, I'm like, I either do one of two things. I either shove my emotions way down and I don't process them. And then when someone triggers me, I'm in a rage of anger. Or I process my emotions too quick and I react too quickly to something that I don't even know. For example, my best friend, right? My best friend and my other friends, right? They were going out. And they were going out for food. And at the time, I was with my girlfriend, like, all the time, constantly. And I remember seeing on Snapchat that they were out. And I flipped out. I said, what? You lot didn't invite me? You mad? Like, how are you not going to invite me? Now, bear in mind, yeah, every time they invited me out, I would say, no, I ain't going. I don't want to go. I'm with my babes. I'm chilling. So they knew. They just did the pattern. They just cut the, you know, they cut it short. They just didn't invite me. I called them and I'm like, bro, you didn't invite me. They're like, bro, you weren't going to come anyway because you're always with your girl. But still, you didn't invite me. How could you not invite me? Blah, 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 blah. Flip it out. And then I hang up the phone and I'm calm. And then I'm like to myself, I don't even like that anyway. Like, I sit there to myself, like, why did I flip out? Actually, I didn't even ask myself at the time why I flipped out. I just calmed down and because that was my normal pattern. So for me, I just calmed down and then I'm like to myself, I don't even like whatever they were going to do anyway. I can't remember what they're doing. I think they were going to like some place in London. I can't remember what it was. Some kind of food. I don't even know. But I remember sitting to myself like, I don't even like that. But whatever. But what I've realized is it felt like rejection. So it felt like what I had when I was younger. My dad being inconsistent, being in and out of my life. Cool. Then my mom not being able to give me the full meeting my full needs as a kid growing up, cool. So what happened was my brain was connecting the relationships that I was having with my friends and girlfriends with the relationship that I had with my mom or my parents when I was a kid. But remember, that's all subconscious. It's not like I'm conscious and I'm aware of it. But now that I've unpacked it recently on a recent couple of years, I realize, I'm like, oh, I'm doing that, that, and that because it mimics that, that, and that. If that makes sense. You've just got to just kind of sit down with yourself and just connect what you're doing with what's happened to you and respect what's happened to you and kind of, you know, just unpack things, man. That's all it is. It's just being able to unpack a load of things, man. So that's what happened anyway in my first relationship. I realized I was an avoidant. Second, became anxious after learning how to communicate. And then regulating my emotions. I'm still learning how to do that fully now. You don't really fully get there, but you do fully get you. I believe you can fully get there, but I'm still trying to understand certain, like, for example, let me give you an example. See, anxiety for me, yeah, I didn't even know what anxiety was. I remember being in school and everyone said, oh, I'm suffering with anxiety. And they used it as a reason to leave class. And I'm not saying like they didn't have it because I didn't know what it was. But obviously people used to take the mic, oh, they're leaving for anxiety again, blah, blah, blah. Now, I didn't know what anxiety was. So why I'm not ever going to tell people, oh, I have anxiety, because I didn't know what it was. I thought anytime I felt anxious, I believed in my brain that it was anger. Because I didn't like the feeling of anxiety and I didn't like how it made me feel. And I hated that like almost that breathlessness sometimes. I then switched it into anger because I'm frustrated at the fact that I can't process this thing called anxiety. I couldn't process it. The only emotions I'd process was happy, anger. Yeah, probably happy, anger, and maybe like sadness. Those are the only three emotions. But when I came to any other emotion, I didn't understand what I was feeling. I'd be like, I'm like a bubbly ball. That's how I see myself. So that's what happened to me anyway. Anyway, yeah. That's just the start of the journey, man. Like how we got to here today, innit? So that was my experience. Hopefully you guys, you know, come and join me on the next one. And the next one and the next one. So thank you for joining the Moving or Move On podcast. And hopefully, yeah. Look, forgive me. Be patient with me. Yeah, this is my first few episodes, innit? I'm just getting used to speaking in the mic. It's a bit weird just talking when nobody's here. But yeah, I appreciate you anyway, innit?